Equipment all set to go? One moment. Okay, so we're on. Okay, so this is the Thursday, November 16th, 2006, Zone 3 Advisory Committee meeting, and I want to welcome everybody.
Hello, David.
Hi, it's in you.
Yeah.
I hear you're retiring.
Yeah. Sweet.
Might want to change that nameplate. That's.
All right, Dean, are you ready for a roll call? Not quite.
I guess I'm just going to sit over there.
Are you ready, Mr. Chairman?
Oh, I am, thank you.
Okay. I guess I'm the interim chairman.
Interim chairman, okay. Mr. Dahl?
Thanks. I'll be sitting in for Dahl. Dave Angelo.
Mr. Angelo. Chairman Rabinow? Mr. Versaw?
Here.
Mr. Costello? Mr. Guthrie is here. Yeah, I'll make a, if I may, Mr. Costello nor the alternate for Aurora Grandy could be here, and Mr. Guthrie kindly agreed to come. We don't have any formal votes tonight, so I don't know that there's any issues with that. If you want to just let us go on with the meeting, we can do that and entertain comments from Mr. Guthrie as a representative.
I would move that we let Mr. Guthrie be the representative from Aurora Grandy tonight. Sorry.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. All right. Where are we, Dean?
We are on the public comment section.
You got anybody from the public that'd like to comment? If so, stand up to the stand up to the microphone. Seeing none? How about the minutes of September 21st, 2006? Everybody have a chance to read those, and anybody have any comments?
Mr. Chairman, one comment only, and that is the very last paragraph. I'd like to change the meeting place to Roy Grandy City Council Chambers, or we're sitting in the wrong place. Other than that.
That's my mistake.
Other than that, I'll move to approve as presented.
One other correction, Mr. Chairman, also, please. I noticed when we were talking about Mr. Millen in here, you had the wrong name. The first name was, I don't know what it was, but it was Clint instead of Cliff, I think, or something.
Do we have the correct name?
See if I can find it.
Also, Accountant Straith Zanartu indicated to me that on page 5 of the minutes, under paragraph Roman numeral 9, subparagraph B, the second sentence should read, Straith Zanartu indicated that a new projection, this is discussing the cost of Lopez Water, would be completed in December and should be changed to distributed to the agencies in January. Straith could not be here tonight.
Yeah, my correction would be on page 4, number 7. Yeah, it said Cliff Millen when it should be Clint Millen.
Yeah, that's Clint.
Not that it'll make any difference to him.
Thank you.
So we have a motion for acceptance with those changes?
Yeah, I'll make my motion to approval include all of those changes as noted.
A second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
We did have a issue with some trout planting. Apparently, the Fillmore Hatchery had some problems with some of its runs, so it delivered most of our fish over about a two-week period that we would normally be getting every month. Instead, we had about 17,000 pounds dumped in a two-week period rather than over the longer portion of the season, which would have gone into March and April. And then it's unknown as far as how that's going to continue, depending upon the repairs that they do to the runs there in Fillmore. But apparently they were scrambling to get rid of all the fish that they had throughout the state. And we were a beneficiary because we're a deeper lake and we're able to get to take fish. So that's a little different than what we have on here. We continue all of our monthly interpretive events. Our kids' fishing clinics are still very successful. We've begun some realignment in Mustang Campground that's just going to involve adding some vegetative buffers and natural buffers in there to try to make it more appealing to camping and get away from the parking lot look that's in there now. And I'm very hopeful that our Cal Boating project, our grant project for the paving of the marina and the replacement of the launch ramp docks will be happening this winter, and that we won't see that start during the summer. We've been kind of waiting for this to happen, and apparently the state has changed some of the way that we deal with our grant funds, and they want to give segments at a time, portions of the money at a time. And as you guys well know, sometimes it's not easy to start a project until you get fully funded, and so we're hoping that that'll get going. Our revenue is up about $10,000 over what we would have had last October. We're attributing that to the fee increase from last year. It always seems like our fees drop sharply right now, but at the same time, we're anticipating annual pass sales will bring us back up to pace again. And with that, if you have any questions that you'd like to ask.
Anybody got any questions for Mr. Millen?
Dave?
Nope.
No questions. Thank you. Okay, old business. Dean, I think you're up for Straith.
Okay, jump to item 5, the operations report.
Oh, sorry.
That's fine.
You're right.
We'll go ahead with that one?
Go ahead with that one. Okay. Sorry, I got off track.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, just a few brief things. The state water has been shut down as of November 6th. It's due to be turned back on next Monday, November 20th. We'll see a reduction in that turbidity levels. In your packet, there is the monthly operations report for July, August, and I believe September. The earlier ones were the ones that were incorrectly included in your last packet 2 months ago. And I recall that Mr. Versaw wanted those sent out quickly. I could not get them because of my staff and some of the problems we've been having, or not problems, I should say, but the construction of the Lopez upgrade has mandated. We've had 24-hour shifts of our guys, and they weren't able to get the information together any earlier. So I sent these out to you. These are the correct copies of the current operations reports for your information. So I just wanted you to know I didn't forget, but I was unable to get my operators to get that part of it done until just now. So that concludes my report on the operations of the existing plant for now.
Any questions on operations?
Dean, are we going to reduce the discharge out of the lake anytime soon?
We don't anticipate that we'll be doing that at this time. On your agenda, the draft resolution issues regarding the IDRS will discuss some of those things. At this point, we're not anticipating that.
Because I see, you know, month of September, we had 380 feet, and we're already up to 2,200, and that's basically 50% of the year's total, so we're not quite at 50% of the year yet, I don't think.
Yeah.
That's just my thoughts.
That's part of the interim plan that we'll discuss in a little bit.
Mr. Versaw, anything?
I'm good, thanks.
Okay. One question. What, and I noticed that you're up about 14% in the white level. What, I realize it was probably filling from the dam project. Are you guys doing things?
I'm just noticing that the lake level is at 84% versus 69% at the same time last year. I assume that's refilling from the dam work.
That's from the rainfall we had at the end of last year.
So if we had a similar rain year to last year, would you expect to be at nearly 100%?
We had a lot of early saturation in the season, and then we did get a lot of rainfall in, I think, February and March last year, and that increased the reservoir quite substantially.
Okay.
That's why we got that increase.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, they can. And the concern arose because their wells were down in the because of work on the panels, and they had to scramble and do some overnight work on their well panels to get up before the state water shut down. And I assume that if a real emergency had arisen, they could have gotten water through the pipeline that would have been loaned from Lopez or something if their wells had stayed down. But there was a concern about that.
Who is the contact besides Mr. Wallace's office about Sam Miguelito? Is there a...
No, Sam Miguelito would be through the water company there, through Debbie Seifert.
Yeah, Debbie Seifert or Kevin Seifert would be a good contact. Rick Kuhn is another one. Or you can contact me because I'm the engineer for them, but they're pretty self-sustaining over there, and I don't usually alert them of those things unless I think they didn't get the message.
Okay. I know an email went out. I don't know, my operations superintendent, Ron Coleman, advised as soon as we didn't get a lot of notice in advance, but I know he sends a notice out, but I'll check to make sure that, because these are sort of the downstream agencies and they're smaller users, but they should all be notified. So I will check into that and make sure that happens.
So did everyone who received state water get shut off in terms of their state water allocation?
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, we received a notice at Avalon, so we were aware of it.
It's probably a miscommunication, but...
Okay. We have some smaller users, but they should all be notified as primary users. So right. I'll check and make sure that happens.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Anybody have anything else on operations? All right, I think we actually are on old business, and if that's a fact, why, Dean, I think you're filling in for Straith.
Yes, as I said, Straith is sick, and she asked me to fill in. She does such a good job. I feel very inadequate to do this. She's always very specific about what she says. However, I did find one of the secrets. On page 4-1, you'll find a quarterly budget status, and it's a good summary. I'll read it for the... for the benefit of all of us. This is the first quarter budget, end of November 16, 2006. The overall expenditures are under budget by approximately $375,000, or roughly a 40% savings. Much of this savings relate to several capital projects, including the pigging project, which should be fully spent by year end. Routine, and there is a chart in your packet that illustrates the capital outlay reserves, routine operation maintenance, and non-routine operation maintenance. And if you have significant questions, I would have to refer those to Straith and get back to you on them.
Just a brief question. Why would the routine operation maintenance be less than what had been budgeted?
Part of that is for, I believe, staff that we have not hired. If you recall, we anticipated two positions for this entire year. We have not hired anyone yet. For information on that, we have solicited two positions. We got 80 applications. We screened them down to about 20 interviews. We have picked one person, so we're still one short. We anticipate, I'm not sure what we're going to do at this point, because this is the second time we've done this in the last 2 years, and we've only found two people out of 160 that are qualified to work at the plant. So that's kind of a difficulty. And I would estimate that probably some of the savings is also due to the operation of the implementation of the upgrade project, where we've got some of our people are working to learn, do training on the upgrade, the membrane. Our chief plant operator is assigning some time also to the upgrade project because it's directly related to construction. So that's probably part of it. There may be other things I'm not aware of.
Thank you.
Anybody else have questions for Dean on that one?
Just a comment, if I might. I've noticed that there tend to be a lot less questions when you're under budget by 40%. If you reverse that, there'd probably be a lot more questions. Huh? Is that a technique that you're picking up from Straith, or...?
We have an excellent budgeting staff, and our accounting staff is all I can say.
Good answer.
They do support us very well, and they look out for us. And when I say us, I mean us engineers and managers in the department. So we do appreciate that. So there is more good news later as we get here, and I will point that out also to you because it's nice to have good news once in a while.
John, Dave? Okay. Thank you, Dean. And I think you're on B also.
Yes, in your packet, there is I should put this up on the screen. I thought about some of them on the screen, but not all of them. But Mr. Wallace can share with me. I'll put this up on the screen. total the numbers up, I believe it's probably around 80-85% of the revenue does come from entry fees. A significant amount is from passes, which is almost $275,000. And boat licenses, I'm not sure the exact definition of these, but I believe from one of the members of the public that spoke at a last meeting, he said there was a, when you bring your car and a boat, you have to pay for both of them, so that's probably why there's a difference here. So that's just for your information in response to a question I believe that Mr. Wallace brought up at one of the last meetings.
Thanks, Dean. This helps.
Anybody else have any questions for Dean on that one?
If I might, Mr. Gehring, just to remind the committee that the General Services Department of Public Works is looking into possibly contracting out the work for maintenance of the Lopez Rec area water system and wastewater system, the plants there. That's a process that they are doing since they do operate that. We have conveyed your concerns regarding the requirement for the terminal reservoir because there's a body contact in the lake and issues associated with that cost, issues associated with operating the wastewater treatment plant because if there was a spill or some kind of a problem, that wastewater could potentially go into the lake, affect the drinking water supply. And those concerns have been verbalized to General Services. Nothing formal is going on right now other than they're doing some research about how to go about the process of evaluating that. Just a little bit of an update on that item.
You know, I did copy some information for you. I think someone from your office picked it up last week.
Yes, I have it.
There's some background information that was written by Clint Milne about termination of the Davis-Gretzky grant and so forth in that information. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at it.
I have not looked at it yet.
All right.
Dean, is General Services going to address that problem with the lines up there by the Boy Scout camp? Or are they going to hide behind the no-money scheme?
They are not going to address it. Actually, I signed a letter yesterday to the Boy Scouts telling them that according to our agreement with the Boy Scouts, that they are responsible for the maintenance, repair, installation, restoration of all the services and facilities to the Boy Scout camp. I did talk to a gentleman, I don't recall his name right now, I gave him that information. I'd at least like to have someone here with me, so Straith is a good substitute, but she could make it tonight. On the screen, this is a part one of two. I'll ask to turn that over in just a minute, but I am preparing every meeting an executive summary, or I should say having Montgomery Watson prepare that, our construction representative on the site. And on the top left, you'll see the structure for the aluminum dome, which replaced the canvas inflatable dome, which used to be over the Clearwater Reservoir. That has been completed and covered with aluminum triangles, so it's all completely sealed now. The Clearwater Reservoir was out of service about 7 weeks. It was put back into service, I want to say this last Monday, but I'm not sure that's right. It may have been last week. It was put back in service almost a week or two ahead of time than the schedule that we had. And as you recall, we were having to go with 24-hour shift with our staff to make sure that we had no backups from the pipeline because of fluctuations in the flow of our plant and the usage by the downstream users. Because this is our buffer tank that absorbs any differences in our water production and the receipt of water downstream. On the right side, you see they're installing the electrical building, which was a prefab electrical building. That's been installed. As we go down to the progress narrative, some of the important things that have been done, the remaining membrane racks, which hold the filters that process the water, the last four racks have been installed and assembled. The membranes are not in yet. That's a process we do later. Mechanical piping and electrical activities for the chemical building, which you can't see very well, but it's on the right side of the right-hand picture, the very dark, that's a concrete block building that's been being installed. We're finishing work inside the laboratory control building, drywall and ceiling, and HVAC and electrical is all being installed in there. And the next significant item is the Paul Corporation will be here on November 27th with their technical staff and their project manager to begin their startup process of checking out all the membrane system components that they have provided under their contract. They'll be doing that. They'll be starting some training with our staff that they're required to do. And we anticipate that we will not have the membranes installed immediately. They will be shipped such that we anticipate they'll be here. The process work is done such that we can start up the membrane system without doing any interim steps for example, processing raw water instead of processing untreated water, be able to go right from, I guess the best way to describe it is to sort of switch from our existing plant process right to the membrane process. And keep in mind, in the meantime, we are producing water every day, every minute. And so we're trying to find a good way to convert directly from our current process to the new system without having a lot of interim steps, which may cost us time, money, resources, and a lot of stoppages or additional resource use. On the other side of the paper, which is on your executive summary at the bottom, we are, as of the 1st of November, we're approximately 60% through our time schedule as far as the contract time goes, and we have expended approximately 64% of our funds, so we're right on track as far as time goes. Also on that, you'll see under the cost summary in the right-hand bottom column, the approved change order is approximately $60,000, and everything we are aware of to date is approximately $110,000 additional. So we are probably about $170,000 into our contingency for the project. We have a $1.4 million contingency that we're being very, very stingy about and trying not to spend unless we need to. And my chief plant operator out there, Craig Kessler, will, I think, admit that or agree that I'm pretty stingy when it comes to doing things that we really don't need to do. We're trying to be very frugal with that. And our construction manager, Montgomery Watson, is doing a good job on keeping track of that and keeping me informed of what we need and don't need to do. In doing the things that are important during the construction, putting additional conduits in, there's a lot of small things that need to be done that we're trying to catch up with and do while we can. It's a very, very, all of you have been out there, and as you see the buildings on, it's a very, very tight site. There's a lot of underground work and buildings that have been put in a small area. And I think that's difficult access, and it's sometimes provides for challenges of getting work done when it's in a tight site like that. But the contractor's moving ahead well. He has met two first major milestones. One was that during the low flow period, which was during last winter, he got the plant. There will be the new system when we're completed. So we'll be down to half of the capacity when we take the new basin down in 2 weeks. And it was intentionally, would probably be obvious that we didn't start that until the state water came back online, which is next Monday. And then we wanted to wait till after Thanksgiving, so the plant restabilized. Then we would take down one of the trains and then begin the next phase of the low flow period with the construction and the treatment basin. So that's my report on the status of the upgrade.
Okay, thanks, Dean. Any questions on plant upgrade status? Mr. Angelo?
Nope.
Mr. Reynolds?
Nope.
Just a couple quick ones in regards to your schedule, Dean. It appears that both that you're certainly well within. I have to tip my hat to you for keeping the contingencies down to as low as it is. And I was going to ask you if that had to do with the cost of the items completed so far. If the more costly, potentially more costly things were coming up, but I think they were kind of.
We've tried to balance, at the beginning of the project, we tried to balance all of the construction items totally throughout it's called a schedule of values, which lists all the work and distributes the money. And we were trying to work our way through percentage-wise that. That was a very difficult adventure to go through, and again, Montgomery Watson did a good job balancing that out. Basically, they had not a lot of information from our contractor, and they put it together, and I think it's representative of the whole project, so they've done a good job of keeping track of that. I feel comfortable that that's really where we are, as best as we would know.
Well, that's from my experience, that's a really low number on your change orders up to this point. And it looks like, looking at the schedule, that if we're able to stick to the schedule by the end of January, that a large percentage of, or most of the work is going to be done in terms of the different items that are on the schedule.
That's correct. The contractor is looking toward having the equipment ready to produce water that's untreated water, because the pretreatment system will not be installed yet. But the contract provided that we could treat untreated water for existing half of a plant at about 2.5 million gallons per day, and then the balance will come from state water, because during December, January, February, even March, there's not a great demand for state water. There's plenty available. So we've tried to balance that out so we will not have to run untreated water basically through our brand new membranes. It will work fine. It'll just take us more to clean them more often. So the contractor has indicated that that's his schedule, and he's been pretty true to what he said. We may not need to do that. We may want to wait till the 1st of April, for example, to start everything up. So we've got some float in here as far as him operating that.
Good job. Thanks.
Thanks. Mr. Guthrie. Mr. Wolf.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Any other questions?
Okay, thanks, Dean. Interim downstream release schedule. Here we go.
The in-stream downstream release schedule, I'll refer to it as the IDRIS, is a interim plan to reduce the releases into Arroyo Grande Creek from the dam in order to save more water behind the dam. Hope I said that right. It didn't sound right, but to conserve water and maximize the storage. Just again, to go back a little bit, I sent out a memorandum on October 3rd to all of the agencies, the zone contractors, to the city managers, that had a resolution attached indicating the agency's concurrence of the acknowledgement of risks associated with doing an interim plan before we had, well, of implementing an interim plan. And so the item that I put before you was to seek comments back that you may have regarding that request from the district to provide a resolution or an endorsement or comments in whatever form. I will say we had a meeting with the TAC a couple of weeks ago, and the Technical Advisory Committee indicated that at this point they were not ready to make a formal recommendation. There was an idea that was brought forth by one of the agencies to maybe provide some additional water in lieu of doing the IDRIS.
And I kind of got the impression that the staff was not going to recommend supporting that.
Supporting what? The whole IDS plan?
Taking any liability. I mean, I don't think there's any question that the plan's a good plan, and that, you know, we should save as much water as possible. It only makes sense. But I guess there were some obligations from the purveyors on the liability of the steelhead. Is that correct? Or?
We're liable regardless.
Well, I understood it that the county wanted us to indemnify them. Is that correct?
No, I don't believe there's any additional indemnification. We recognize that the agencies that are party to the agreement are liable. They receive the water. They pay for all the costs of the services. So we recognize that. So as far as liability, I think the point was was to make sure there was a clear acknowledgement by all the agencies that there was a potential risk, not any additional than there was for indemnification or liability, but there was an additional risk by changing something, and if something happened, that the district would be responsible and the agencies would have to take care of that and deal with that and pay for it if there was cost involved in doing it. So I will also bring information. I'm trying to remember exactly who. I believe Pismo Beach, Dennis Delzite, indicated at the last TAC meeting that it was the staff's initial observation regarding the memorandum that Pismo Beach felt that what we were asking was already included in the agreement, that you have to receive water and to pay for the costs, et cetera. And I don't know. I'm looking at Phil Davis in the audience because he was at the TAC meeting and Mr. Wallace was. There was another agency that indicated that they felt the same way. I think it was Mike Ford from Grover Beach, but I'm not sure. And we recognize that that's a perspective that you may have, is that you don't want to do anything, you don't want to sign anything or acknowledge, making any additional acknowledgement, one, because it may not be necessary, and two, it's
just our staff, but somehow or another there was some belief that there was going to be more liability.
I don't believe so. No, that wasn't the intention of this. Okay. It was just to make it clear that there was exposure attached to doing this.
It would appear to me that these valves are going to be operated electronically, correct?
Yes, correct.
And if something should happen to go wrong with electronics and we shut all the water off or open them up too far and kill a bunch of fish, unbeknown to anybody else, we're still going to be liable. All of us are. We're all in the same boat. So I think we're making a big deal out of nothing myself. Stand up and take your poison, because that's what it amounts to.
Okay, I think ours can have some of the same concerns as if it's not really clear why it's necessary to do this. I mean, there's due diligence kind of asking some sort of
I think our staff had some of the same concerns about the actual document, that it was that yes, we're all liable, and that there were some due diligence issues, but that it didn't require a special document to go forward. But I didn't get the impression that it was a deal killer by any means. But they felt that was. I was just told to relate that there was some concern about that document.
Well, the district's position is that, and I'll just try to make it simple, is that we are asking the five agencies to all agree to the resolution, and if one of the agencies or all of the agencies do not, it wouldn't be our recommendation to take it to the board to do anything to implement the Idris plan, because there would be, I guess, expressed reluctance in whatever sense we would interpret that as being, because I guess, I mean, I don't know what the board could or would do, but it was our intention to take the Idris plan to the board to get the board's approval of us reducing the releases down the creek.
But if we don't do anything, if we don't implement this plan, that's going to negate the possibility of ever generating any extra water when we have a large flow coming down the stream, correct?
That's correct. That is correct.
Yeah, so.
Let me just clarify. So, that for my notes, is the agency then looking for unanimous approval of all the users? It's all or none.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
And there's nothing in
deliberations at AVWA and some of the other agencies that we're familiar with. I think everybody realizes the importance of moving ahead with the interim release program, because we've debated the benefit of this for, I don't know how many years now, it's going into years, and there's some substantial savings in water that would accrue from implementing the program while we're waiting for the implementation of the HCP. I would personally hate to see us get hung up on a piece of paper that may not be necessary, because the terms and things expressed in that resolution are already contained in our contracts through the county. So it would seem prudent to find some other way of perhaps implementing the program.
Would you like to go on?
Yes. Without
without getting hung up at this point on this resolution. What we did in AVLO was we took it to our board in October, at the October meeting, which was pretty quick after we originally received the document. And the board was a little confused by it, of course, and it was not for an action item, it was more for information, which it should be. And we requested public work staff to come to our December meeting to more fully explain it. However, even if we have a successful meeting at AVLO, the need is demonstrated, I sense from our discussion on the TAC and perhaps here that we probably won't get unanimous approval. So therefore, I guess what I'm suggesting is maybe there is another alternative with a letter from the county or some other method that would basically say we're proceeding to implement the plan based upon our consultants' findings and observations and conclusions about the interim release program, and that we will administer this this new program in accordance with the existing agreement. It would seem, unless there's some objection at that point from the agency, I think we should move ahead. Just a suggestion and observation from where we've been.
I think that's a great suggestion, John. I do have a couple of thoughts myself on this. One is, Dean, when you say the district's position on
that if she didn't think it was necessary, she wouldn't have recommended doing it, but that's a conclusion by me, not clear. That's all the information I can give you that I know of.
I had hoped that each agency would at least involve their respective city attorneys, district legal counsels, if necessary, if they came to an internal impasse on this document. I don't know. That may be an alternative, to put all the attorneys involved in one room and see if something could be brought together. John thinks it's a meltdown.
Well, Jim, you know, really, we're not going to, when we implement this, we're not going to operate the dam any differently than we have prior to this lawsuit that we had filed against us. We always slowed the water down when they had plenty of flow coming out and adjusted things. And we got along fine until we had this Cal Spa deal come along. And I think that it can be operated the same way now without a whole bunch of legal ramifications and red tape. I mean, we've already been tied up in this thing for 5 years with red tape, and we're not getting any closer now, it doesn't look like.
Well, you're preaching to the choir, because I completely agree with you. The problem we have here is at this committee is how do you get the county to come around to a different position? They're saying they're not going to operate that system in accordance with the IDRIS unless we sign that document. So you either negotiate around that or you sign the document. So the question is, how do you negotiate around it or perhaps approach it from a different direction? I think John's suggestion is good, but I didn't hear Dean respond to that.
Well, John's suggestion is to not entertain, I guess, the resolution. And from the information that I have, the district is not comfortable doing that or taking that recommendation to the Board of Supervisors. And I guess the reason is because we would like, I guess the way to say it is we would like positive support instead of silence in proceeding with this.
Maybe I could. I'm sorry, James.
I just want to be sure, because I had a couple of other things with the resolution that weren't related to the liability issue that I just wanted to make sure we don't get beyond the deal before I have a chance to get to them. But if you guys want to continue talking about the liability, I just want to be sure there were two other.
I think those contracts adequately cover the liability issue between those agencies. Not being an attorney, I don't know fully, but it seems like that they do, and they've been tested over time for the last 40 years almost. So it seems that they're basically good operating documents that have been proven out in the past for them. I would personally like to see the county take the leadership role as their manager of the project, knowing that they have managed both the project as well as the preparation and processing of the HCP and the development of the IDNIS to move ahead with it, but give an adequate buffer of time or response opportunity to our agencies to say, basically, we have a good program, we've had good consultants, we believe in the research and the progress that we've made. We're moving ahead unless one of our agencies expresses a reasonable objection to it within a certain amount of time. I think that clears up the fact that we have had adequate notice to respond if one of our city attorneys or one of our district attorneys would object to it. But it gets us off the dime and moves ahead. And if any one of the agencies objects in writing, then so be it, the thing stops. But I think that might be a way to move it ahead.
Let me just add, if I could, that our staff is in the process now of preparing a draft of a protocol document to implement the IDRIS. We have installed the three gauges that we anticipated that we would. Those have been installed. They are online. You could see those on the website. It's real-time data, although it's stable right now, obviously. And we are anticipating trying to have that ready in January. Again, recognizing projecting this out to our meeting in January 18th, which is the first advisory committee meeting. If nothing is determined today or recommendations taken back, the reason for the item was to discuss it and also to determine if the agencies wanted Mark Hutchinson, our environmental staff, to come and provide a presentation to the agencies or communities to discuss the resolution, if that was still of interest or if that was of no interest, and what we should do with that. Not being on the committee, I'm as just speaking maybe out of turn, but if you took a vote to say that you're comfortable moving ahead with the IDRIS and you're not going to sign a resolution, I would have to take that back to the district and say, what do we do now? They want us to proceed. There's certainly 100 different things you could do to get it off the dime, as I understand that's what your point is. Ours is also. But there's nothing that I can do. We've sort of proposed a path, and we understand the reluctance to your path to going down this route, except I think it does illustrate that reluctance either illustrates that there's some risk exposure that is significant that nobody wants to sign on or acknowledge, or understanding it's already there and it's already acknowledged anyway and we're sort of trying to force the issue. I don't believe that's what the district is trying to do, but that's what it's been recommended to us to make sure that it's clear to everybody what we're embarking on if we should have a real problem.
Jim.
Well, I'm coming into this real late, but it does seem to me that the risk is actually that if you vote and you end up with a 4-1 vote, then the agency that chose not to sign may have some more limited liability. It doesn't sound like it, but in some sort of a proceeding, they may have some more limited liability. That you're actually better off if nobody signs than if you're missing one signatory. So there might be. Not only would it be easier to proceed without any document, it might actually be safer legally to have nobody signing than unless everybody signs. But that's just my comment on that. Do you want me to go on with the other concerns from staff on the other issues, or staff expressed concern that there's no in the resolution there's nothing specifies what the allocation of the additional water would be. There's kind of an assumption that it would be based on all the other allocations, but it's actually not in there. And there's a reference to that there would be additional costs involved, but there's no detail of what the additional costs would be, and again how they would be allocated. The resolution's not complete on those two points.
To address that a little bit, the generation of, I guess, what would be called surplus water, if we were able to save a significant amount of water, is already included in the agreement with all the agencies of how that water would be distributed or be made available. Fines, defense, because a fish dies for whatever reason, and we are accused of, or worst case, convicted of something happening that we can't prove that we didn't have an impact on. And I think those are the larger costs that the resolution infers to, and that's the risk associated with that. And we can't really quantify those costs.
So does the resolution I don't have it in front of me. So, but does the resolution reflect that there may be additional costs associated with the litigation, or does it spell it out at all? My suggestion is maybe that's what we do. If you're going to put it in there, then let's say what. You know, that the resolution should say what the costs are rather than some open-ended cost black hole, for lack of a better word.
The quick answer is in the whereas clause of the resolution, which, let me just pass this down to you so you could have it. It states that the implementation of the IDRIS, including installation of new monitoring equipment, which has been completed, and implementation of additional monitoring by our staff, is expected to increase the cost of municipal water supplies. Now, that in itself is not significant as far as the costs that we're aware of and really have been already done, because those costs are associated with the HCP, so we're really ahead of the curve on that work. And we need to be able to be documenting the water flows, the water levels, that type of thing, in order to implement the HCP also. The last part of the last paragraph on the back page of the draft resolution says the agency, if they were to approve this, acknowledge and accepts that any increased costs associated with the implementation could increase billings under the contract that has been executed with the agency and the districts. I doubt that we could estimate a cost, because the exposure on this is for penalties and fines for fish or frogs dying. That's the big issue here. Everything else is fairly easy to identify. We don't anticipate we're going to hire one new staff person to drive around. There's not a lot of staff time associated with turning the valve up and down and monitoring it during really January, February, and March. But it is the risk associated with the exposure of the endangered species dying.
Is TAC going to get another shot at this before it comes back in January?
The TAC committee is going to look at the IDRIS plan a little bit about additional cost and that type of thing. I think it's sort of a it's not a absolute substitute for doing the IDRIS plan, and I'm not sure I can't predict what the TAC will say about it, but there's some problems with it, because it would cost somebody some more money to just have more state water and use less Lopez water. It wouldn't result in the implementation of this plan, so it really doesn't address a substitute for this. It wouldn't save more water as the IDRIS plan addresses closing the valve down. It's going to take us a couple of meetings with the TAC to kind of focus on what they want to do. And I am still, from the district's perspective, looking for what the other three agencies, I guess, what their view is, or viewpoint, or their intended action is on the draft resolution that was sent. As I said, I know PISMO has told me, Dennis Delzite has indicated to me, and I believe Mike Ford also concurred that it's already in the contract. It already says that you already take the exposure, you pay for anything anyway. What more could you do other than sign this resolution?
One question, if I may, Dean, and I'm going to go back a little bit. When, you know, we started to pig a lot of this line, and we're going to pig a lot of this line. And now all of that cost is borne by all of the agencies, correct?
That's correct.
All right, so, you know, for the amount of money that we're spending on putting manways in the line and changing the valves, the district has spent probably, when you get done, going to be $1 million. And it doesn't seem to me like signing this contract and worrying about what would happen if we kill a couple of fish is going to amount to that much money in comparison to what everybody has spent already on the pigging process. I mean, Ray Grandy's spent, you know, if you take everything proportionally, Roy Grandy spent 50% of the pigging money. They've come up with it, and we're really not getting much benefit from it, or AG is, in my view. So, you know, let's step up to the plate and go forward with it and see what happens. And I'll be quiet. And I'll make a motion to that effect, and we'll see what...
What's your motion, Tom?
That we go forward with the IDS, or the IDRIS, as proposed by the staff, and have it signed, and go down the road with it.
Second for discussion. Anybody?
I didn't understand.
You don't see any reason why each agency should or shouldn't sign?
Should not.
Tom's saying, why don't the agencies go ahead and sign everything and let's get on with it?
Okay. Yeah,
basically, that's it.
Okay. So the motion is really just to put the paper in front of the agencies and let's see what happens.
That'll work. Any way you want to put it out there so that it'll get done.
And just to follow up with what Mr. Runnels said is that that's what my memo to the agencies did. It said, we request that you consider this in front of your council and say yes or no.
I'd like to ask a question. Tom, I think that's already been done. I think the resolution's been sent out to each of the agencies.
Well, I agree, John, but here we're back to the same thing that we were a couple of months ago. We're arguing over whether we're going to do it or not, and let's prod them a little bit and see who's going to sign it and who isn't going to sign it.
Well, I'll second for discussion.
For a discussion, I'm curious. Forget that thought. Let me think about that again. Let me just ask, is there a December meeting of this?
No, the next meeting is in January. However, you can call a special meeting if we wish, if we need to.
I was going to suggest that what we'd actually maybe be doing is sending the letter or whatever we want to call it to each of the agencies saying that we'd like a formal decision by their body by such and such time, whether they actually sign. I do think there's real risk that if four of them sign and one of them doesn't, we're down a road that maybe we don't want to be down. But I agree with you. Let's find out where everybody's really in. If it comes down to not getting the water or signing the document, where's everybody really at?
Well, it appears to me that everybody's afraid to sign something because they think they're going to avoid a certain amount of risk, and they're already tied up in a risk. They've got a proportionate share.
Yeah, I actually don't even. The Roy Grandy City Council hasn't discussed this at all. I don't know whether Pismo or Grover Beach has, or whether Pismo has. But actually, this hasn't been discussed at the council level at all. So I don't know where the AG council is.
You know, I got my thought back here somehow. Jan, apparently the origin for the requirement for this resolution is Jan Goldsmith. Now, if the contracts do not cover the liability envisioned, perhaps she could explain where they don't. Because we have agencies that seem to believe that...
Meeting. That's one of the inputs that I'm looking back for you.
Is that explanation have any more information in it than what you've already shared with us, Dean?
It will basically be a... sort of a brief PowerPoint presentation explaining what the IDRIS is and what we are to do. And
that's not the issue, though.
Yeah, the issue is whether or not we're assuming more liability, whether we need to sign this resolution to assume that liability.
Well, the presentation would explain why we are recommending to have the resolution approved by each agency. And we would have... I think your comment's a good one, is we would have that information from Jan or have Jan at those meetings, depending on how we could schedule them, to present that to you.
The implication of asking our bodies to approve the resolution that you presented is that there is additional liability. We're being told there isn't any additional liability, but we want you to acknowledge that you have the liability, which we've already done through our contract. It has this kind of smell to it. I mean, I don't mean a bad smell, but you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
When you ask somebody to sign a document, pay no attention to the fact that we don't think it adds any liability, but just sign this to make sure that you're going to accept any liability that comes your way. Just implies that there's something more there.
Well, then we
We apparently are paying for Jan Goldsmith to advise the county that the county needs protection.
And then you ask, and ask each of the agencies to go incur additional costs to decide whether or not that's a that's true or not.
Understand? I think though that the point is that the district has to look at the overall liability on the best benefit of each agency. One agency may have a disagreement because they don't like something because of whatever, and it's our responsibility to, as an oversight district, to make sure we're looking out for protection as much as possible of everybody. That's the perspective we're looking at. I guess it's sort of like saying the district is trying to protect you from yourself, which government at times does with seatbelts and helmets and various kind of things. But
yeah, but then you get back to the point where we're just, but we're starting into the rainy season right now. We're going to monkey around here.
Something that implies additional liability, but as Larry was saying, we've been told, no, we don't have any additional liability. And so what we do away with that question, just advise the county to move ahead. And if we have a serious objection, then an agency could raise that objection. But the county manages the project.
Well, I'll withdraw my motion then. If you'll withdraw your second, you make the motion to go that way.
I'll withdraw my second.
I'd like to make an alternate motion if I could, please. Unless there's some other discussion.
Please do.
I would move that this committee requests that the county move ahead with implementing the IDRIS through administration of the existing contracts. And that if there are agencies that wish to object to that, then let them do so directly to the county.
Is any time frame on that objection?
I'd like to see that move ahead very quickly because, as Tom says, we won't meet again until January. That's halfway through the rainy season. I think we should take that action tonight and see if the county can't move ahead with the implementation as quickly as possible.
What time frame? 60 days?
I don't know why the county couldn't move ahead with the implementation program, seeing as that the portion of the physical facilities dealing with stream gauging are already installed. I don't see why they can't move ahead in 30 days. Now.
I guess the question, John, would be how much time do you think you should allow for any agency to object? 30 days.
Well, they've had all this information for 3 months already.
Correct.
And I'll second the motion.
Under discussion, what would be the time frame that we would expect a response from the county? Or the county is a district, right?
I would anticipate we'd bring back our recommendation to the TAC committee to discuss at the first Thursday in December, and if it was very contentious or disagreeable, that we could call a special zone meeting, a Zone 3 Advisory Committee meeting in December, because obviously if, you know, you'd want to talk about that before January if we wanted to implement the plan by that time. I don't know if, I'm assuming that we would still take this to the Board of Supervisors for their concurrence with it if we were to move ahead, or recommend denial of not moving ahead, depending on how your motion gets voted on here.
Yeah, but at least you'd be able to get it on the agenda for the board in January, even if you have to pull it, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So the board would respond about the same time that we were maybe going to ask them to consider responding. So it's going to be in January. Okay.
Can we ask that Jan Goldsmith be at the TAC meeting?
Sure, certainly. Or if she can't, I'll bring the answer. Or maybe we could do a telephone conference call or something.
In my mind, at least, the question is, why do we need this thing if the contracts cover it? If they don't, what don't they cover?
Okay. Further discussion?
I think 30 days would give Oceano adequate time to respond.
Tom? Somebody question?
Roll call, please, Mr. Benedict.
Uh, Mr. Angelo?
Yes.
Mr. Rabinow is absent. Mr. Versaw?
Yes.
Mr. Guthrie?
Yes.
Mr. Gehring?
Yes.
Mr. Wallace?
Yes.
Mr. Reynolds?
Yes.
As unanimous as it gets.
Thanks, John.
Now the ball in your court, now, Dean.
At least it's moving, I hope.
Okay. If there's any more questions on that one, otherwise we'll go on to HCP processing status.
Yes, I included as attachment 8 in your agenda package a summary of steps that have occurred in the most recent history. I wanted to just have that available to you, and you'll see a lot more detail in the 2006 on the second page of that document. We are still, at this point, our technical consultant is working with National Marine Fisheries Service to resolve the technical details of the analysis, the model that was done, descriptions or details of that model, but the basis of it was that model was used, and We'll probably wait till the worst possible time. It seems like we've installed those in December and January in the rainstorms. But I don't have a time frame on that yet. I certainly haven't forgotten it. Actually, Doug Bird has taken pictures of both the awards that we've done, which you had suggested in your last meeting. We'll be emailing that out to you so you can give yourself some publicity as appropriate for that. But I haven't pursued that or pushed that yet. That will be done. I'm a member of ASCE, and I'd like to see those plaques out, and as some of us all do. So.
Hey, anybody have anything else? If not, I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We're out of here.